I get a feeling it's gonna be a riot.
I don't read the newspapers because they all have ugly print.
What it is, everybody. Welcome to episode 30 of Fish and Connor Saw a Movie. My name's David Pether, but you can call me Fish. With me, as always, is my favorite sack of shit,
Connor McDuff!
Connor, can you believe we've got to 30 fucking episodes?
I actually can't. I'm in a bit of shock right now. I don't understand how we've done so many. That's over half a year worth of talking about films every week. That's oh my weird. God.
Like, it feels like we've always been doing it, but then it doesn't feel like we've been doing it that long at the same time.
It's I know, weird. It's strange.
I don't know. Like, that, like we've been meeting up just about every week to talk shit about films. That's you know, that's got to be some sort of achievement, right?
It's called fucking commitment. Jesus Christ. So much talking about movies. Every single week we've done it, though, which is insane. Like, we haven't missed a week. If we can't do a week because you're in Japan or I'm on a boat, we work around it and we'll film two in one week or do something. But we have not missed a single week. We have done every single fucking week, and that is just insane. I don't understand how that is. What? What?
No, that's right. We are fucking committed. That's for sure. We're committed to our listeners, our faithful listeners who come back every week and listen to us talk shit. God bless you guys.
We love you, listeners.
Well, listen, for our number 30, we've got a pretty big movie on the cards. What are we talking about later?
Fast and the Furious 7.
Number 7. Can you believe there's 7 of these fucking movies?
I can't.
Well, I can. I just went back and watched them all. Fucking hell. But listen, before we get into that shit, well, let's do a little disclaimer to start off with, because we get pretty bad with these sort of things. We will be spoiling the shit out of that film when we do the review. I'll warn you again as we get up to it. The films that we talk about before the review, we don't usually spoil. And if we do, sorry about that. But, you know, we're going to get to that one a bit later. But listen, before that, have you been watching anything else? Have you got anything on the cards?
I saw SpongeBob, the new SpongeBob film.
Oh, my God. Is it good?
It's okay. It's like watching like a SpongeBob episode, sort of. Yeah. But, it's not as good as the first movie at all. The first movie was amazing. This one,
the first
not
movie
so much.
Was fucking fantastic. You know what really topped the first movie for me was that the I'm a Goofy Goober song at the end, where he dressed up like a wizard,
like
rock
guitar.
God. That just like it was almost perfect until then, and then it became perfect.
the first one was great. This one's okay. It's just it doesn't hit the same notes. I don't think
you weren't really that keen for it. You were pretty like put off by it. You
because of the
like,
live action shit.
But did the live action shit work?
Well, it was like it wasn't what I thought because I thought they'd be. It'd be a cartoon for like 10 minutes and then they'd fuck off and it'd be live action for the rest of the film.
Yeah.
But really, there's more cartoon than live action. Like, they're only animated up in the real world for about 20 minutes and the rest of the film's set as a cartoon, which was cool.
Oh, wow. Because it really sells it like the whole film.
Yeah, I think that's the point. I think it's meant to sell it like that. That's its selling point. But I would have just liked it if it was set entirely in a cartoon.
Yeah.
Because it just, I don't know, it just took away from it for me because I'm expecting it to happen or I'm like waiting, like, okay, well, obviously this doesn't really matter because they have to get out of the water anyway. And it just, it would have been so much better if they, if it just wasn't like that, if it was just set like the first one as a cartoon. And then when they even get out of the water in the first one and they're still cartoons, you know, like,
yeah, you're right. and they're riding David Hasselhoff.
Yeah. It's, you know, I kind of just, every time we film, I yawn excessively. I wanted to be all cartoon. I just was like, come on, if you're going to make it like a SpongeBob episode, just make it like a SpongeBob episode. Stop trying to do different shit. It's not working, but yeah.
But do you feel like you're already jaded going in because you already, like, you know, the fact that they sold it?
Yeah, pretty much. They were selling it like that way, and I was pretty pissed.
They were selling it, and you weren't sold on it, that's for sure.
That's it.
We've been talking about this one fucking since 30 episodes ago. I remember this was one of the very first films we brought up because I saw a trailer when I went and seen Ninja Turtles, which was our first
movie
review. And I was like pretty excited, and you were like, nah.
No.
I'm still pretty excited. I am going to go see it. I was thinking I might even go see it later this afternoon.
Yeah, see it soon.
But I had to get on Fast or Furious 7.
That's it.
That, so, you know,
what did you see anything?
Man, all I've been watching for the last week is Fast and the Furious.
Oh, really?
I went back and watched all six of the other films before I saw number 7.
Jesus.
I was committed to this review. I wanted to make sure I knew all the story beats, all the characters, all the things, you know, all the tie-ins. And you know what? It actually did help because because I hadn't seen any of them for a while before number 5. And I've been watching, you know, them every few years when they bring them out in the cinemas for 5 and 6. And I was kind of just like, oh, I sort of recognize all these characters. The only ones I'd never seen Too Fast, Too Furious. That was the only one I hadn't seen.
Yeah, that was a good one.
So I didn't like, I knew that Tyrese and Ludacris were from that film, but I didn't, you know, realize who they were and where they came from and all that sort of thing. So it was cool to go back and see all that, and even some of the tie-ins to Tokyo Drift that you wouldn't expect are there, which come more into number 7, which we can get onto that later. But I just went and binged all those motherfuckers. I actually didn't really like Too Fast, Too Furious. I thought it was probably the worst of them all. I didn't like number 4 originally, but when I'm watching it again this time, I think after seeing what the franchise has become, you know, in 5 and 6 and now 7, where they're more heist movies rather than street racing movies. And 4 is kind of like the point where they start changing over to heist. And I think at the time that kind of pissed me off because I just wanted a fucking cool street racing movie. But I kind of liked it. I still wouldn't say it's one of the best ones, but it was up there. I definitely liked it better than Too Fast, Too Furious. Too Fast, Too Furious felt like a fucking TV movie watching it. It looked really dodgy. Just compared to where it's gone to now and like how strong the first one was, I think it's the weakest of the lot. But saying that, it is still about primarily street racing and just simple things like drug trafficking rather than where it goes in the later films. So there's something cool about that as well, I guess. But just been binging that. I haven't really had time to watch anything else. So I don't know. Should we just get straight into the fucking review then?
Fucking rip into it.
Because that's all I've got on my mind right now.
Fast and Furious. Yeah, I saw it late last night, so it's fresh in my head.
Oh yeah, I saw it last night as well. I went and seen it at the IMAX here. It's a Hoyts.
Nice.
I think I brought this up with our Jupiter Ascending thing, and it's an IMAX, but it's really just a VMAX.
Oh, okay.
It's not really that big at all. It's huge. It's a big screen, but it's like I reckon the Rabina VMAX is bigger, which is disappointing.
Rabina VMAX is huge, man. It's a big fucking screen. Tell you what.
Yeah. But it was good. It was good seeing it on a bigger screen. And especially with the fucking booming sound. You know what I mean? Because just the revs of those cars is just, they just roar in your ear in an IMAX cinema. It was just fantastic. And it was a pretty packed cinema as well. There was a lot of people there. And
So was ours. Ours was 9:15 when I saw it.
Yeah. It's a good atmosphere for that. And these movies always get the numbers in. I remember when number 5 came out, I tried to see it at Australia Fair Cinema and it was sold out, so I had to go over to Reading, and we just got in there at the time. You know, it was one of those days where it's just like fucking nuts at the cinema.
Yeah.
And it's good to see, you know, people c- coming out to see these films. Apparently, it's fucking smashing the box office too. I think it had like something like $380 million in its opening, which is huge.
Yeah, it makes sense, really. Like, it makes perfect sense why this film would smash the box office in every regard. It's really, there's really no surprise to me there at all.
Well, there's no surprise, but it's like, because I've seen it with the other ones, but, you know, they really are kind of B-movies. They've brought in some bigger stars, but, like, none of these guys are, you know, blockbuster stars. Like,
The Rock is.
Well, that's what I mean. The Rock has come in now, and he sort of boosted it to that thing, but he's not even really, like, the focus of the film, if you know what I mean.
No, he's pitched as the focus, and then you've got, like, the death of Paul Walker, which is a huge selling point, sadly, it is. Yeah. Same with Dark Knight, Heath Ledger's death, huge selling point for a film. And then you've got these recurring characters in a franchise that has been known to be good and fun for the past, you know, six or so films. So, like, Obviously there's no real shock that it does well, because you've got fast cars, you're appealing to a huge audience, you've got a huge cast, you've got one of the protagonists is dead now, so that's, like, really appealing. Like, really, a lot of it is just, there's just a lot of things going for it.
Yeah, right. And, you know, it's funny, though, a lot of people that I speak to about the Fast and Furious franchise, they're kind of like, oh, is it really up to 7? Like, fucking, it's like, yeah, it's up to 7, because people are still seeing this movie. And those people who are saying that are still seeing these movies, you know what I mean? Like, it's, they're coming out in droves to see the next episode of this shit. And I think that's what, because they're really smart in the way they've done it, is they've brought this episodic structure to it all that, in this day and age, we were talking about it last week with Netflix and stuff, like the binge culture.
Yeah.
The idea of, you know, sitting down and watching 12 hours of fucking TV show is not uncommon. And people like to see these characters that they like continue. And that's why so many sequels are getting made these days, and so many things are turned into two-parters and shit like that.
Mm.
It's because this episodic nature is popular right now.
That's it. Like, I'm pretty keen. You're right. Like, you're totally right. It's it. Like, it's just perfect to binge watch, really. You've got 7 films that progress with characters, and it has some form of a story there that progresses over the entire thing. So, yeah.
I feel like it probably, like, if they'd gone into it expecting to make 7 films, kind of like what Saw did. If Saw, like with Saw, they sat down and wrote basically the entire story and then made 7 films out of it, which I thought quite worked as an ongoing story. Like these ones are kind of a bit jagged here and there, but like overall, it's just cool the way they bring back the characters. I'm not so sure about how they brought Letty back in number 6. I've just lost my mind. I don't remember anything. I was kind of like, yeah. I thought that could have been done a little bit stronger, but
I never gave a shit, to be honest. She was just such a fucking boring character. Like, I don't know though, because like number 5 is my favorite. Number 5 is my favorite Fast and Furious film.
Yeah,
it
for sure.
It has the biggest crew, and it's just fun, and it's just this heist movie, and you're not meant to give a shit. You don't give a fuck. It's just so hectic and insane, and you're just like, whoa, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, no, that's it.
And it's great, and that one didn't have Letty in it. So when number 6 came out, I was like, oh, fuck off, dude. Like, it was so much more fun when he had a new girl, and he's having a fucking great time, and you've come back, you're ruining the movie with your bullshit subplot, fuck off. But she didn't. She stayed.
I when they teased it at the end of number 5, I was excited about that. I was like, oh, you know, they're bringing Herbert. Like, how the fuck did she not die? Like, I was really excited to see what they could come up with for her not to die, and then it was kind of like, yeah. It wasn't as exciting as it could have been, because it's kind of one of those, like, how? And they obviously come up with something fucking fantastic, and they really didn't.
They did not.
And And that was disappointing. Look, I like the dynamic of having her back in it. Like, I like, because Dom is such a faithful character, I thought it was cool that she came back and he would, you know, basically do anything for her. And he doesn't even push her. And they come into that number seven, that he doesn't push her into, you know, falling back in love with her, with him. Sorry, you can't. Yeah. What's that line? He says you can't tell somebody that they're in love with you, sort of thing. He basically had to work it again. So he was like real gentleman about it all, and like I thought it was good for his character. But I just don't like the way that she was kind of brought back. But another thing I noticed after watching all of these in the last week or so is, you know, how much bigger the budgets have got and how better the acting has gotten. Like, it hasn't really taken any big leaps and bounds, but holy crap, they're just horrible in that first few. Like, the acting is just fucking terrible. Like, Paul Walker is, wow, man, like, stiff as a board. Like, but he somehow finds some sort of like charm later in the franchise, which really worked for him. And like, and even in the later films, he's not winning any Oscars or anything like that, but he's definitely steps up his game. But there is one thing, I don't know if I brought this up before in the podcast, but there was a film called The Pawn Shop Chronicles that was one of Paul Walker's last films. And he it's kind of like a little how would you say it, like there's a few like short stories that kind of connect in it. It's like three or four short films, and they kind of all set around this pawn shop down in southern United States. But fucking Paul Walker plays like a hillbilly, like redneck motherfucker, and he's fucking fantastic in it, man. Like,
oh,
he,
really?
Like, he actually he doesn't play Paul Walker, if you know what I mean. He comes out and is just he's actually acting, and he can act. He can become and embody another character. So you should try and track it down. I wouldn't mind watching it again, actually. It was quite a good film. But this was just around the time that, you know, he passed away, and it was like, and I remember being like so disappointed, because I was like, holy shit, this guy is actually really good. Like, if he steps away from playing Brian O'Connor, he can do other things. He can be something else. Because most other films that I've seen him in, he's still playing that Brian O'Connor role, you know. So that was really cool to see. Should we hit it off with a fucking plot summary? I've actually written one out this time.
Oh my god, we're organized. Go for it.
It's probably going to be worse than just doing it on the fly. But let's give it a go.
Let's do it.
Okay, so the film opens with Deckard Shaw, who is played by Jason Statham. Who we saw at the end of the last film taking out Han in Tokyo. He blows him up, and then he calls Dom Toretto and says, you know, you don't know me, but you're about to, sort of thing, as he walks away from an exploding car. But we open on a scene with Deckard Shaw. He's in a hospital consoling his brother Owen Shaw, who was played by Luke Evans from the last film, who was the big baddie in that one. And he's basically saying, hey, I'm gonna go out and get revenge. Then he leaves the hospital and he walks through it. It's just a fucking mess. He's killed everybody in the hospital. It's full of SWAT team members and all that thing. And it's just showing how much of a badass this guy really is. And, you know, a formidable opponent for Dom and his crew later in the film. Then we cut to Dom is taking Letty out to Race Wars to show her what they used to be about, and she's like, oh, did we used to go to this thing? And he's like, go to it, we invented this. She kicks some guy's ass in a drag race, and then as everybody surrounds her, she kind of freaks out because she doesn't know anybody. They're all cheering for her, and she freaks out and leaves. Dom tracks her down, and she's like hanging out at her gravesite. And she's sort of saying,
fucking morbid.
He's about to destroy the gravestone, which says, you know, has her date of death on it. And she says, no, that is the time that I died. My memory was lost then, and now I'm this new person. it's all complicated. She leaves, and it's kind of like a big sad moment for Dom, I suppose. Cut to The Rock, fucking Hobbs. He's hanging out at his office. With his now assistant Elena from the previous two films. He's just chased down another bad guy. Didn't really give him the workout that he really wants. When in comes Mr. Shaw, who's in there hacking into his computer trying to get information on Dom, and that, I'm supposing. A fight scene ensues, and it's a pretty badass fight scene, actually. The Rock versus Jason Statham is kind of a thing I want to see and was happy to watch.
Yeah.
but then Deckard Shaw throws some sort of explosive thing, blowing up the office building, sending The Rock and Elena out the window, but The Rock saves Elena by taking the blow as they fall to the ground and land on a car. And is injured in the process, ends up in hospital. Then we see Brian and Mia being good parents. Brian is Paul Walker's character, and Jordan Brewster, I think is her name. I can't remember. Sorry, the girl from Fast and the Furious, who Paul Walker's married to now, I'm supposing. They had a baby in the last one. The kid's growing up to be just above a toddler. He's going to daycare and all that sort of thing. We have a fun little scene with Paul Walker driving a minivan, and it's kind of all shot in a way that he's like in about to do a race when he just pulls ahead in line at the daycare queue, which was quite funny. Anyway, we're back at the house when a strange package arrives for Dom at their house. And Mia says to Dom, "Oh, you got a package from Tokyo," and at this point, they don't know that Han has been killed in Tokyo, and Dom says, "Oh, it must be some parts. You know, he's sending me some parts from Tokyo or whatever." At that moment, Dom gets the phone call that we talked about earlier from Jason Statham saying, "You know, you don't know who I am, but you're about to." Dom figures out that the phone call is coming from Tokyo, realizes that it's a trap, and just before he yells, "Get down to the guys," the package blows up and destroys the house. And, you know, luckily everybody was outside and nobody got killed and whatever. After that, Dom flies to Tokyo to bring home Han, meets up with Sean Boswell, who's played by Lucas Black from the Tokyo Drift films.
Yeah.
Actually finally connecting Tokyo Drift to the timeline a little bit, which I thought was kind of cool. Cause I actually quite liked, Tokyo Drift and Lucas Black in that one. When I saw that he was in this film, I was kind of like, yeah, sweet. And I did want to see him a little bit more in that.
Yeah, he was literally in it for 2 minutes. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, it's just like to make that connection. I would have liked to see him come into the crew, do some drifting, but, you know, oh well. They come home at the funeral for Han. Shaw rocks up, and Dom chases him down, seemingly to have the final showdown, but Shaw pulls a gun on him. But before the trigger is pulled, a bunch of government agents arrive and scare Shaw away, just in time. They are led by Kurt Russell's Mr. Nobody. Mr. Nobody wants Dom's team to come in and retrieve the God's Eye, a device that can hack into any camera or microphone around the world. Hacker Ramsey knows where it is, but she has been kidnapped by terrorists who want to use the device for their own deviant needs.
Bastards.
Oh, and by the way, Letty returns to complete the team.
Yeah.
after some soul searching. So Dom's team goes to save her as she's being held in a trailer/truck thing. After a crazy action sequence, that they manage to get her into Dom's car, and he is seemingly trapped on a cliff face surrounded by terrorists. So he drives off the cliff to escape. After suffering an extremely long and painful fall, the two occupants leave unharmed, and Ramsey tells them the USB that contains God's Eye is in Dubai. A billionaire in Dubai has put the device in his supercar that he stores up in his skyscraper penthouse. So after another incredible action sequence, Dom and Brian jump the supercar between three buildings and manage to remove the device after the car's brakes are cut out and before it goes tumbling to the earth far below. After retrieving the device, Mr. Nobody gives Dom Shaw's location, and along with a task force, they storm his hideout to find that he has joined forces with the terrorists from earlier and now has an army behind him. Dom, Brian, and Mr. Nobody manage to escape the ambush, barely. In the excitement at the ambush, Shaw and the terrorists now have access to the God's Eye, and Shaw is using it to track them down. But Ramsey can hack into the device, she just needs to be within 2 miles of it. This sets off a final showdown sequence where Dom meets Shaw on the top of a multi-story car park, while the rest of the team is dealing with the terrorists and this fucking cool drone plane thing. In the end, the team is victorious with the help of Hobbs and a minigun as he comes out of hospital, and Brian is able to return to family life where Dom leaves him.
Yeah.
Is that kind of... I'm a bit confused at this ending.
It was more to just do with the fact that he's dead, so his character is retired. It's more like, well, you know, there's no more like him running with the crew. He's done now. He's going to go and live his own life with his family, and this is what he wants. We need to be careful because, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, I definitely got that. It was definitely an homage to Paul Walker as a person and his character in the franchise. But I just don't know. Is Dom just going to leave him? Is that like what they're trying to say?
No, he was just upset because he's all about family, so he just didn't want to. He just drove off because he was a bit sad and needed to go for a bit of a spin. I'm sure the characters will see each other again. I think it was more just to do with, like, you know, I got to go. I don't really want to think about not doing the crazy shit I do with my bestest bud.
With my boy. Because, yeah, the way the way they sort of play it off is, the way I kind of saw it, but they don't actually say it, is that he was leaving to... so that Brian wouldn't be a part of this life anymore. All the trouble seems to follow Dom, and you know what I mean? Like, and in some ways I think that might've been the way to go, but the reason that it doesn't, you know, it doesn't go that way is that Letty stays behind. So it's like, you know, if he's going somewhere permanent, he's going to be taking his chick. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I was a little confused with the ending. It was a nice little homage to Paul Walker, and you know, I did get a little lump in the throat with the idea that we won't be seeing him come back. But and it was a nice little thing, like they got a bit of a race, but then, you know, you see the cars part off and, you know, that's the end of that chapter sort of thing.
Yeah, no. Good job. You did it. You did it. Long plot synopsis and it's done.
Yeah.
Half hour film, that one. Fucking hell.
All right. Well, let's start off with the fact that Statham's in this film. Like, that's a pretty fucking big deal. Jason Statham is a fucking badass at the best of times.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. He was pretty cool in this too. He's kind of just a nuisance though, which is what bothered me. Like, he kind of just pops up and irritates them for a few seconds and he's gone again. Like, he's no real major threat, to be honest, at any point during the film. Like, he's just a pain in the ass.
Absolutely. And this is my biggest problem with this film. I really liked the idea of Deckard Shaw just getting vengeance on, you know, his brother's injurers.
Yeah.
I like the idea that he was hunting them down one by one, you know, killing them off, basically. I thought that was really, really cool. And it was actually kind of scary at the start. Like, you know, the bit at Han's funeral, and Ludacris is all like, you know, we're being hunted. And then he's just like sort of stalking them at the funeral. And then, you know, Dom goes to chase him down. And that, like, up until there, it was like, fucking, wow, this guy is going to fuck them up.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to fucking kill them. And, like, how do you stop Jason Statham? Like, he just took out an entire SWAT team to get into the hospital just to see his brother. Like, that's how badass this guy is.
Yeah.
And then they kind of just ruin it all.
They do.
When Mr. Nobody fucking Kurt Russell comes into the game, that's when this movie... like, it's still very cool, and like, I like that plot, but like, I definitely liked how simple it was.
Yeah.
That there was a guy hunting them down, and, you know, I felt like there was going to be, if they went that way, there would have been, you know, a moment for each character as Shaw comes for them one by one. You know, we probably would have lost a few more characters, but it would have, you know, I think it would have, that threat would have been alive.
Yeah.
Whereas once the, you know, the government agent dudes come into it, his intimidation factor disappears.
Pretty much. Like, he's pretty much just a fucking tick.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, how, you know, how smart this guy apparently is, and how he knows where they are the whole time and all that sort of stuff. It just, like, then he just rocks up when they're doing
shit. Yeah.
Other things. Like, it's like, it makes no sense for this character to be coming in at those points.
When he rocks up in his fucking car with his beanie on, ramming up in the forest. I'm like, what the fuck is he doing? Like, this is so annoying. Just fuck off. Would you? Like, he's just nothing. He's not any.
Yeah. That's exactly it. Because he's kind of just like, yeah, like you're saying, it's just a fly that they got to swat away while they chase the big story, which is the God's Eye and all that fucking shit, which is so disappointing. It should have been, you know, like how cool was it when The Rock was hunting them in number 5? Like,
yeah,
it was just The Rock. He was one-minded. He was, you know, he was focused on them, and that's all he wanted. And they had an opportunity to kind of replicate that. But maybe that is the reason why they didn't go for that, you know, 100%, because they'd already kind of done it with The Rock.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter, because Jason Statham is cooler and would have been cooler than what we were given, which was some fucking irritating dickhead trying to just piss everyone off occasionally. And he's gone.
Yeah.
Again. So yeah, that's annoying.
Right. And it's just like, how is he always there? Like, and why is he only there at those times? Like, why isn't he there where they're just chilling on the beach talking about the...
About Paul Walker leaving, you know, just rocks up with a fucking machine gun.
Kills them all and the fucking job's done. But even, like, it really convoluted the plot, bringing all this other complicated shit into it, like hackers and God's Eye and terrorists and the government and all this, like... And that's what I was talking about earlier from watching all these films through. It started out as a simple street racing fucking movie franchise, and then became a heist movie franchise, and now all of a sudden they're like working for FBI, whoever the fuck these guys are. Like, it's like,
there's no real story in this film at all. Like, there's nothing to really grasp. You kind of just, everything kind of just happens, and they kind of just give one little motive, and then they're like, yep, this is why it's happening. Believe it.
And by the way, the USB that has the God's Eye is in Dubai, so let's go do a really cool set piece in Dubai. You know, like,
cool. Like, it was cool as.
Oh, man, fucking sick.
But it makes no fucking sense. Like, oh, my God.
Well, actually, going through and doing the plot summary, actually writing it down, like, they've put too much into it that it makes no sense. If that makes sense, you know, like, they've tried to make this really deep, intricate plot, but it just fucks itself. You know, like, it doesn't work as well as it should. Like, it's all there. Like, all the plot points are there and stuff. Like, it's, but it's just, in the end, it just feels like fetch quests over and over. It's like, we got to get Ramsay. Oh, okay. Now we've got Ramsay. Now she's telling us that it's in Dubai. So we're going to go to Dubai. Let's do a cool action sequence there. Okay, we've got that. Now we need to know where Shaw is. So we'll go hunt him down. And that's another thing. Like, it's funny. It feels like that story comes to a close, and then it's like, oh yeah, by the way, that Shaw guy.
Yeah. He still exists.
Oh yeah, that's right. The whole reason you were doing this was so you could get you could find out where Shaw is and go kill him. When fucking Vin Diesel says it in the start that Shaw's just going to come to them, so why does it matter? Why does he need to help them? Like,
the other thing that pisses me off is the whole Letty subplot. It's just so fucking redundant in this one. They could have totally dropped it and just have her be like happy, a happy chap, you know, like have her just be loving herself, because in the sixth one she comes back and she's like, yeah, ride or die, we're family. And then in this one, they just like play the same notes, and I'm like, fucking hell, it does nothing for the plot, it does nothing for anything, it's just annoying. And she fucks off when she's at the funeral. She's like, I gotta go find myself, and she's gone. She's gone for like 5 fucking minutes. She comes straight back the moment he gets recruited by the FBI. She's just fucking back again, and nothing happens. She's like, yeah. Oh yeah, hey, sorry, did some thinking, yeah, and I'm back. And I'm like, what? Like, why'd you leave? Like, what difference did it fucking make? Why did you go?
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, again, when writing this plot summary, I had to go back over it. And I'm like, hold on, where does Letty come back into it again? She's like, because there's the whole point at the start where she leaves and freaks out and it's like a big thing. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, she's back. Yeah.
It makes no fucking sense. Like, just leave it. Just drop it. Jesus.
I do like the dynamic of her memory coming back and you know, figuring out that they actually did get married. I thought that was a nice thing. It was more of a device for Dom's character,
yeah,
to show that he's a good fucking dude who didn't force her into, you know, coming back to him basically. But they kind of already are back together, and like, if they were gonna go that route, they should have really gone that route, yeah, like had that she's a complicated character that like all of a sudden is like, hold on, no, you can't just tell me that we were together, you like, this isn't what I know, you know,
yeah,
that, like, they could have really had some fun with that, but you're absolutely right, they just don't put the time in, and it just like, it just happens, like even her mind, her memories coming back just happens, like it's not even like a big deal, it's like, wow, they're dressed up in nice clothes, so she, oh wow, we're married, oh now I remember everything,
you yeah know?
Really, really disappointing there. She is a badass chick, and I do really like Michelle Rodriguez. I just think that maybe they just shouldn't have killed her off in the first place, or had a better reason for her coming back. I don't know, I do like that she's back in the franchise, but I just think there should be a better reason for her to be there.
Yeah, I just didn't. I was just annoying. That subplot just pissed me off. Most plots in this film just pissed me off because it's just shit writing. Like, there's nothing there. It's just like, just reasons to, just motives to kind of have fun. But within saying that, them having fun is fucking brilliant. Like, this movie, like, it's just fun as fuck. That Fast and the Furious is the best action franchise we have at the moment. Nobody does absolutely action better at the moment than Fast and Furious. From 5 to 7, it's just fucking balls out fun. It's what the Expendables wants to be, which is just this brilliant fun film that you kind of have, you enjoy it, you're aware of how silly it is, but you're not like, you don't disrespect it because of it. Like, a lot of the time when films are intentionally over the top, you're like, oh, this is dumb. But with this, you're just like, fuck yeah, like, holy fuck. Like, when they're fucking flooring it between the buildings in their car, like, oh my god, like, holy shit, it's just so fucking silly, but you're not like, oh my god, this is silly, you're like, holy fuck, like, this is insane.
That's absolutely right. And you know what the funny thing is, I find that there's people out there who are saying, oh my god, it's just so stupid, it's just so stupid, yet they're coming back sequel after sequel,
yep,
see the next ones, because you have a fucking great time watching it. And it's and you know what? The more crazy that they go, the more I like it. Like, I, you know, and they've kind of drip fed it through the films.
Yeah.
Like, you know, from dragging a fucking safe around in
the fifth one's in the fifth one's best one. Oh my god.
To you know, the Vin Diesel propelling himself over the bridges in the sixth one. Like, so ridiculous, but so awesome at the same time. Yeah. But this one just took it to some fucking levels, man.
Parachute cars.
Oh, fuck, that would be terrifying. I love that. I love that one of the characters was scared. Like, you know, Roman didn't want to do it because fuck, no way I would want to do that. Fuck, it's that
insane,
shit.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so cool though. Even, you know, when Brian is running up the trailer as it's falling off the edge of the cliff, which you see in the trailers,
Michael,
but it's Oh, man, that's so awesome. But you know what? There was this fucking wanker behind me on that scene who was like, oh, bullshit. Oh, that's fucking whatever. That's fucking no way. And I felt like turned around and I said, there are 7 of these films. Have you not seen any of them? Do you not know what they are by now? Like, fucking hell. Why are you here? Go see something else. Go see SpongeBob.
Yeah, it's fucking... It's annoying when people are like that. This is coming from me, and I'm the most fucking pessimistic human being in the world.
Exactly.
And you go into these films, and you don't... Like, I was with Mel, and Mel's never seen Fast and Furious.
Oh, really?
And so, something like that happened, like something ridiculous. Oh, it was the cars falling out of the plane. And she was like, wouldn't the pressure, like, totally destroy those windows? And I just turned to her and went...
But it's at that point that you say, oh no, Ludacris, you know, actually designed
I just told her to shut up, and she got it. She was like, oh right, that's what this sort of movie is. Which is fine. Like, just fuck off. It's meant to be cool. It's like, I read somewhere, it's pretty much what it would be. Fast and Furious is what, like, it's like a kid playing with their toys. That's what these films are. It's like what the sequences kids make up with their toy cars and toy action figures. And you're right. Like, that's what you'd come up with. Cars falling out of a fucking plane, parachuting in. That's probably my favorite scene in the whole thing was that, like, them in that fucking forest. It was just brilliant. Like, it was so cool.
What, that whole sequence?
Yeah.
Like, the road sequence? Yeah.
It was brilliant. That was cool. And the bus bit, oh, reminded me of Uncharted. I was like, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It was very Uncharted, him hanging by one arm over the edge of the cliff. But when he got to this dickhead behind me, when, you know, he finally got up the top, jumped onto the back of Letty's car, and she gets out and she's like, you good? And he's like, oh, fuck, yeah, no, thank you. And he's like, oh, he's not even fucking injured. And I felt like turning to him and saying, that's the point.
Yeah.
He fucking danced with the devil and he got out alive. Like,
that's
what makes it so cool. Like, if he fell over and broke his arm, it's like, oh, shit, well, that's not really fun anymore. You know?
Yeah.
Like, shit. But it is. These movies know what they are, and they don't pretend to be anything more. They've rode this over-the-top action style for the last 3 movies at the most, and even before that they still did to a certain extent. Like, even in Too Fast, Too Furious, he jumps a fucking car onto a boat. So it's like, you know, it's always been there.
Always been
wacky,
They
keep amping it up even more and even more and even more. And, like, if they didn't do that, we wouldn't have sequels, and they're not upping the ante. So
this is the last one. There's no more. Fast and Furious 7 is the last one.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
Has it been announced?
Paul Walker's death. So it's pretty much like, this is the last Fast and Furious, I'm pretty sure. Let me Google it now, but I'm almost certain.
Because I know there was talk of another one. I don't know if this was before he died, but they were going to do another story, but in 2 parts. It was going to be a 2-part...
Why?
Mockingjay style.
Why? Yeah,
I don't know, but that's what they were going
to
do.
Don't fucking say this to me. Why? Would you need Fast and the Furious to be 2 parts? Fuck off! Oh my god, I fucking hate 2-part films. I'm so mad. Fuck off.
But it's I was waiting for like some sort of teaser at the end of the film. I even waited till the end of the credits, and there's nothing. So I think you might be right. I think this might be where they end it. Which, you know, I don't know. I would like to see it go again, but I don't really want to see a 2-part thing, and I don't know if I want to see one without Paul Walker, but they can definitely do it.
Paul Walker's redundant. Like, I'm going to be honest with you here. Like, you can make this fucking film with everyone, like, with just 2 of the main characters. It doesn't matter which 2, you can make a Fast and Furious film. It doesn't fucking matter that Paul Walker's not in this film. Really, let's be honest here. It doesn't fucking do anything. Like, you can just put someone else in his position and have them fucking run off a bus. Like, his character, like you said, is so... He's charming and he's cool and he's kind of like the straight guy, and you're kind of like, Paul Walker's the normal one. But fucking hell, we've been with these characters now for like 7 films. It doesn't fucking matter who you make do what. It's still there. You've got Vin Diesel, The Rock, Tyrese, and Ludacris. Like, you've got fucking people there. Just use them.
And that's actually one thing I do want to bring that up is it seems like all the characters can do everything anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Ludacris's whole thing was that he didn't drive anymore because he'd crashed his car or something in Too Fast, Too Furious, and he now organized the race meets. But now all of a sudden he's quite comfortable behind a wheel.
Yeah.
And can fight.
Yeah.
Like, they're all secret agent fighting ability. They're all Jason Bourne. Like, fucking... When there's that scene where Michelle Rodriguez fights Ronda Rousey, that's like,
yeah,
she's fucking a badass, man. She, like, before, like, she sneaks in, like, into that room, like,
and knocks fucking the dude out.
Throat cuts that guy, yeah. And it's like, hold on, like, I can believe that she's a brawler, but I can't believe that.
Yeah,
she's like that. She's, you know, that. Where did they learn to fight?
But you kind of just fucking accept it anyway because it's fast, furious, just action.
Yeah,
like
I feel like Dom is the only character that I truly believe can do everything.
But Dom can't even fight; he just brawls. The only two that I,
yeah, yeah, and that's fine because he's a fucking brawler. That's what he does. And
yeah,
whenever he fights, that's what he does. Like, he even has a street fight with Jason Statham at the end of the film. Like, it's like, you know, it fits his character. And Paul Walker as well. Like, Paul Walker, I could see being able to...
Well, he was a secret agent, dude.
Yeah, yeah. But the other guys, they're just fucking street rats, you know? Like, they can brawl and they can shiv and they can shoot, but, like, can they... They shouldn't be able to fight.
Look, the moment you start getting into the logic of these films is the moment you're going to hurt yourself, because none of them should be able to do anything they do. Like, it just makes no fucking sense at all.
Yeah.
But, like, this... obsession with Paul Walker and, like, this thought that these movies cannot be made without Paul Walker, I think, is quite redundant. Really, that characters, so many characters get killed off in every single one. Like,
yeah,
there's always someone dead. Han was my favorite. I just thought he was cool as fuck. Like, the dude eats chips all the time because he's just have a cigarette addiction. Like, he's cool as fuck, you know? And he's gone, and you're like, well, shit, what about... Oh, wait, no, there's, like, seven other more main characters. Like, you're fine. You've got all these characters. It doesn't fucking matter. It never fucking matters anymore. If it was, like, if it was at the start of the series, the thought might be different, but the thought that you can't make a Fast and Furious movie without Paul Walker is ridiculous. Even in this one and the last one, he doesn't do anything. He kind of just gives a fucking stern look, adds an occasional comment, and shuts up. Like, he's not... Oh, it talks about it's just him and his wife and his kid. That's all that's
his only... His whole purpose is starting the family, and it's... But everything's a device for Dom. Because Dom is all about family, and he's going to protect them, like, you know? And that's why I thought it might have been a nice little thing to be able to continue the franchise with Dom at the end of the film, for him to just, like, leave them without telling, because it's safer for them.
Yeah.
You know, that would have made sense for his character. But Paul Walker is basically just the backbone of this series. You know, he's been in all of them except for Tokyo Drift.
He's fucking white.
He's kind of always been there. Like, and I think that's the only thing. It's because it's not even, they're never, the only movie that was really about him was the
second one.
And even the first one, it was more about his character, but it was like those first two were Paul Walker, where he was the star. And then when Vin Diesel came back in number four, he was the star, you know. Paul Walker had nothing else really gone for him. Vin Diesel had actually gone on to do other shit and become, like, a superstar, and he'd come back to the franchise, and it was his thing then. You know, they obviously keep coming back to make more money, and they obviously keep coming back to make up the ante each time. So, like, I was fine with that. But you're absolutely right. There's no reason that they can't go on, but out of respect for him, like, that might be the only reason they don't. Because, you know, this was really all he had was Fast and Furious franchise. It was his thing. People associate Fast and Furious with him and Vin Diesel. So I would like to see it go on. I'll keep coming back to watch these because I just fucking enjoy them. I Like, there's very few fucking movie franchises that I could, in 1 week, sit through seven films and, yeah, and still be enjoying them all, you know what I mean?
They're good. They're just good fun. Like, the action sequences are fantastic, and it doesn't look cheesy either, does it? Like, it never looks cheesy. You're never watching it going like, oh my God, that looked terrible. Like, it, you cannot fault this movie on how cool it looks, ever.
Nah, no
way. It just looks great.
I think this one... probably similar, but this one was shot really cool. Like, they just did some different stuff. Yeah, with they the tried. Camera, which I really, really liked, and it made those sequences even cooler. I just think it's always funny that they all need their own car, though. Like, do they...
Yeah.
I don't understand why they... Like, they could have just gone in, like, three cars, and, like, you know, there's that bit before Paul Walker jumps onto the trailer, and fucking... Is it Ludacris? Is, like... pushing his car forward so it will still roll while he's standing on the bottom. It's like, why didn't you just roll with Luda and then jump out the side of it? But we gotta see
it's that. It's a fucking car movie, dude. Like, you can't question that. It's in there.
As good as all of the sequences were, all the action things were, there was one where it even stretched my belief, though, is when he jumps off that fucking cliff. When Dom and Ramsey are trapped on the edge of the cliff by the terrorists, and he turns around and just drives off the cliff, I was like, no, I can't believe that you survived that. Like, yeah, you know, the chicken number six, you know, Han's girlfriend died from jumping
car.
onto the tarmac. So it's like, and he can survive. To be honest, I could maybe expect Dom to survive because he's a fucking hard ass, but like this fragile hacker chick, like, nah. And they had a roll cage, but like, yeah, come on.
Yeah.
That was the only time in this entire franchise that I was like, nah. But you know, I quickly get over it because I'm like, well, it is Fast and Furious and whatever, but like everything else has been like I can believe that they would jump that car between the two buildings in Dubai. Like, fucking oath I can believe that.
Yeah. Like,
because they didn't. But you know what? I did start to think as Dom goes towards the he points the car towards the window and Brian's all fucking, you know, cars don't fly, Dom, cars don't fly. And he I thought he was just gonna jump to the ground and it was gonna be fine. And that's when I was like, no, because that set up before in this world.
Yeah.
Apparently you can survive rolling down a fucking, you know.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so I was glad that they actually jumped to the other building, and then the brakes went out, and yeah, that like really, really cool, like really cool that scene. So, but I did, yeah, I just wanted to bring up that one fall because that's the only time that I've been like, oh, nah. I could even believe, you know, when Shaw and Dom meet up in. At this, before Kurt Russell rocks up and they fucking play chicken and run into each other, I believed that because he just made some throwaway comment about the chassis or something could take the brunt of it. Or, I don't know. I don't even know what he said, but I was like, oh, okay. Well, there's an excuse for why he didn't go flying through the fucking windshield like he should have.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
The movie's just crazy. Like, the whole fucking thing. And just thinking about it, it's just insane. All of the films, they're just ridiculous. Oh, man. So fun.
But again, that's the fun of it.
Exactly.
I really liked the final showdown between Dom and Shaw as well, where they're doing the chicken thing again. But fucking Dom does a wheelie with the car.
Yeah.
Like, lands on the top of it. And then fucking gets the shotgun and shoots through the floor. Like... Oh, I would have loved that to have been the way he killed him. I thought that was just so fucking badass.
So ridiculous, yeah.
But it was also cool that he brought a fucking car park down around him as well.
With a stomp.
Yeah.
Stomps the fucking ground, everything collapses. Like, Jesus, people. That's great.
Oh, shit.
Just kill your brain for a bit, hey. Just turn your brain off and watch it and have a good time.
Well, that's it. We were talking about this again with Get Hard last week. There's a time and place for these sort of films, and like, I feel bad for people who can't have fun watching these movies.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know what I mean? It's like you got to be able to switch your brain off and just have a bit of fun every now and then.
That's it. No, I agree.
Well, let's just quickly talk about how they did make up for Paul Walker passing away during the making of this film, because I assumed that he'd passed away like towards the end of it, because he's throughout this whole film, like, and the character's always there. But then I read up later that he actually died not even halfway through.
Yeah, it's crazy. He died pretty quickly into it, and they did a really good job, I think, of maintaining, like, making sure you don't know when it's him and when it's not. But there are definitely moments you can tell, like, for sure. I was able to pick it out. And they use lots of wides and lots of, you know, and these, yeah.
Lighting. It's like shadows on his face and such. You're right. But do you think that if we didn't know, we would notice that?
No, probably not. Not at all.
I don't know if I would. Like, I might have thought, like, wow, this is a really dark scene. Like that scene where he's fighting, is it Tony Jaa, the fucking Ong Bak guy? Dude jumping around doing all the flips and stuff. But he's fighting him in that, like, abandoned building. It's really dark and you never see Paul Walker's face. That's when I was like, yeah, this must be the scene where they've got the body doubles in. Apparently, there was a few different body doubles, and two of them were his brothers.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. And then there's a mix of CGI, and they rewrote things and stuff like that. But it was pretty fucking seamless. Like I said, if I didn't know, I probably wouldn't have noticed. Like I was saying, that fight with Tony Jaa, he's very shadowed, and there's a lot of wides, and it's always like kind of the focus is always on the bad guy. Until the end when he's like, you know, too slow and yells out at him. And I'm interested, like, I'd be really interested to see how they did all these things. But yeah, just shot really clever. I was really impressed with how they did that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like they did really well. There was one shot after they trashed the Lamborghini, whatever it is. And it's like the zoom close-ups. The dolly close-ups they do, and it was so obvious. It was so obvious. It wasn't Paul Walker. Like, I just looked at it and I was like, "You are not him. That is not you."
Oh, really? Sure. What? So did it? Did it push in on his face? Was it a close-up?
Yeah.
Oh, so what do you reckon? It was like CGI or something, or just like
it was definitely CGI.
Yeah, right.
For sure.
See, I didn't really start noticing it until the end, where my brain just was like, oh yeah, that's right. He died nearly at the end of the film, and I just, you know, my brain's like, oh, in chronological order, I'm at the end of the film, so this is probably where it all is. That's where I started to notice it, but before that I didn't really notice it at all.
Well, so. Like the last scenes are him saving Vin Diesel. That was all him. That was Paul Walker doing that.
Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah.
Do you reckon that was him on the beach?
I don't know, though, because it looked like him a lot.
You know what the thing is, though, is that Paul Walker kind of looks weird he's changed as he's got older as well. Yeah. So because I know, I was sitting there being like, is it him? I don't know. Yeah. Is it him? Because, like, I haven't really seen a picture of his brother, but apparently they're fairly similar looking. Yeah. So I was like, maybe because he's just that little bit off that's the brother.
Yeah.
My girlfriend Beck reckons that last shot in the car was probably a CGI shot, you know, of him just smiling.
Yeah, I feel like it would be too.
Yeah, so do I. But it was done really well. Mm. I was really impressed with that. And finally, I just want to talk about The Rock. We've talked about how fucking awesome he is, but he's kind of not in this film for most of it either.
It's disappointing.
Really disappointing. But when he is there, holy shit.
Yeah, he's a badass.
he's kicking all kinds of ass. Like, I love that he's in hospital and he's chilling there with his daughter. And then he sees the stuff on the news and he's like, Daddy's going to go to work. And he tenses.
And he fucking breaks the fucking cast. Yeah. Jesus.
Oh, that's so good. I love that he picked up a fucking minigun. How he kills the drone.
Yeah, just shoots it out. Oh, no, with the ambulance, yeah.
He just drives the ambulance off a bridge into the drone. He's like, ah, like full Arnie style, like God. Just yelling as he goes over and smashes it. And then rips the minigun off it and just starts walking down the street. And Ramsey's like, who's that guy? And that, oh, that's Hobbs. Yeah, no, that was good. That was fun. And just him just ripping into that chopper with the minigun. It was just really cool. I will say, though, that there was a few times that I felt that The Rock's one-liners were a little forced. Like, the ones that stand out to me in particular is when he's locking up Shaw at the end of the film, and they're walking through this high security fucking prison, and Shaw says something about, oh, have you got enough people here? Like, you know, is this going to be enough people to stop me? And The Rock says something along the lines of, you know, oh, they're not for me, they're for you to save me from killing your ass. Yeah. And I was just like, that was so cringeworthy. Yeah. Like, I like where it was going with it. Like, I think that if maybe he just said, they're not for me, they're to protect you, you know, to protect you from me or something like that. He didn't need to say, from killing your ass.
It's just, 10-year-olds playing with toys, man. That's what it is. That's what this movie is.
Yeah. But then he did say a fucking sick line after that to make up for it, where he's like, you know, this won't hold me. When Shaw says, this won't hold me. And he's like, well, once you get through the, you know,
34 feet of concrete,
I'll be waiting for you on the other side with my fist in a body bag.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. I was like, that's fucking cool. Like, he really, so he was very up and down with his lines. And there was a few times at the start of the film that I can't really remember a lot of the lines, but there was a few that I was like, oh, Rock, come on, man. I know you're better than that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. Yeah. But yeah, it was sad that it wasn't as much.
But yeah, I don't know. You got anything else to talk about Fast and Furious 7?
No, I'm pretty much done. Look, I had a great time watching it. It was good fun. I just thought it was another fun film that they've done, and they've done it well. You've got a great cast of fun characters. You've got a plot that makes no fucking real sense and doesn't really do much, but it's there and you can enjoy it nonetheless. And the action sequences are fun as fuck. You enjoy them and you can believe them, even if they are the most unbelievable things in the world. I can. And I had a great time. I had a really great time. I really hope, they keep making more shit just like this. If not Fast and Furious, you know, come on. Like, we need more action films that are just this sort of fun. You know, these are the sort of films we want. If you're going to make dumb shit, do it like this. Anyway, I give it a 3.5 out of 5. Good fun.
Yeah, nice. Well, listen, man, I fucking loved this movie. I really, really enjoyed it. Like, it's a mess of a film in some regards, but in other ways it does so many other things right that I just didn't care. Like you said, the plot is all over. The plot is so muddy and becomes so confusing at times that it didn't need to. I was really disappointed in that it didn't just keep to the simple plot of vengeance with Deckard Shaw coming after them. I really would have liked to have seen that film. But saying that, this film was fucking kick-ass. Like, all the action sequences are so fun. I will buy this movie. I might even see it again if I get time.
Shit.
You know, it's one of those things. Like, I really enjoy these movies. I had a lot of fun. I think I've said enough. It's a 3.5 for me as well. We agree on shit. Well, while we're here, we're talking about Fast and the Furious. Let's maybe rate them in the way that we, you know, from 7 to 1.
Fast and Furious 5. Fast and the Furious.
The first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I don't care about the rest. So then Fast and Furious, probably 7 because I saw it last, and then 6, and then 4, and then 2, and then 3.
Yeah, nice. After watching them all, I was sort of playing with this the other night, thinking about my least favorite was Too Fast, Too Furious. And this is, I still really enjoyed it, but I just think it was the weakest of the films because it had this weird TV movie feel about it. And then they're pretty on par. They, like, it's really hard. Like, number 5's the best.
Without a doubt. It's just so fun.
Everyone's probably going to judge me heavily for this, but I really, really liked Tokyo Drift. And actually going back and watching.
People really do.
Sorry?
People really seem to do like Tokyo Drift a lot.
Do like it or don't like it?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, really? I thought everyone hated that one. See, I like it because it's a standalone story. It's got it has Han in it, which I really like. I really like Lucas Black, the main guy. And I like that it's primarily a fucking street racing film. That's like I like that about it. It didn't go into all these other crazy plots where, you know, we're looking out for God's eye and all that shit. It was just about drifting.
Yeah.
And I really like that. It's really stupid in parts, but like I watching it again, I was like, because I put it on before I had to go out for a bit, and I ended up running late because I watched the whole film instead of just watching half of it like I was going to, because I got so enthralled in it. So it would probably be... It'd probably go The Fast and the Furious is my second favorite, then Tokyo Drift, then maybe... six and seven are pretty much on par. Probably seven.
Yeah. And then six.
Then six. Then maybe four, then six. But see, they're so close together, it's hard to rate them. And then down to Too Fast, Too Furious. So, yeah. It's a good little franchise, really. Like, it is. When you think about it, to get to seven movies and they're kind of amping up. Like, I think they peaked at five, but they've just been kind of just under that for the last two films, at least. So that's a pretty big feat. And the amount of money that this one's made, I'm almost certain they'll make a sequel. So,
for sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
What do we got next week?
I don't actually fucking know, to be honest.
I think it's Hot Tub Time Machine.
Is it?
Let's see what else is out. I'm just going to look it up now. The Longest Ride. Another Nicholas Sparks one.
No.
Hot Tub Time Machine it is.
Alrighty.
Hot Tub Time Machine 2. Most of the original cast is coming back except for John Cusack. So, I don't know. I love the first one. Pretty excited about this. How are you feeling about this one?
Yeah, I'm alright. First one was good, but I'm worried it won't be too good. We'll see. We'll find out.
Man, as long as it's got Rob Corddry in it, I'm fucking there. That guy is hilarious. Alright, well... Thank you for listening to our 30th episode. Holy shit, 30 episodes. Not too long now until we've been doing this for a fucking year. Wow.
Yeah.
And we've got some other big movies coming up in the next few weeks, so stay tuned, everybody, and go watch some movies.
Yeah, do it. Don't even be fucking scared. Do it. I'm not threatening you, though. I'm just us. Anyway.
Please share our shit. We need to get this out. We need to get the word out there, the Fish and Connoisseur movie word. We need you, the listener, to help us out. We need to get some more likes on our Facebook page. We need to get some more listens to our episodes to make it all worthwhile.
Share it.
But for the guys that have been there and have been faithful to us from the start, we love you. We love you so much.
I kind of really like you. Love is a strong word, but I think you're right. But fucking share it, please. Anyway, I've had a great time. Fish, have you had a great time?
I had a fucking fantastic time. This was a good movie this week. I enjoyed this.
Yeah, week. I had a good time. Anyway, as I always say, play the music, Fish.
Tomorrow is another day. Today is another bomb. Tomorrow is another day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fish and Connoisseur Movie. Fish and Connoisseur Movie does not own any rights to the film Fast and Furious 7, its marketing, or its soundtrack, and no infringement is intended. The track 6 Days, featuring Mos Def Remix, is performed by DJ Shadow.
Escalation, devastation, generation, separation, situation, dissipation, shot. Another shot, another shot, attend the vessel crushing, pop the heart is cold, the gun is hot, shot.
I'm not sure if they done or not. I'm not sure that they wanna stop. The gun is cold, the blood is hot. Shot, 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 shot.